Well, this morning it is a real pleasure to welcome Mr. Andrew Irvine here to Ballyhenry. Andrew is a guy who wears a number of hats in his life. Andrew, by day, is what has a job called Belfast City Centre Manager. That's a significant job within the business and civic life of the city of Belfast. And places a lot of responsibility on Andrew's shoulders in that day-to-day context. Here in Newton Abbey, Andrew is a member of Ballyclare Methodist Church, where he serves as what's called a Methodist local lay preacher. So it's not unusual of a Sunday for Andrew to be out taking services just in the normal run of things. But the reason for him being here this morning is that Andrew has come to represent another organisation that he's also very involved in, which is Newton Abbey Street Pastors. This is a new initiative, and Andrew's going to be talking to us about it this morning. And it's an initiative that we as a church have now taken the decision to get fully on board with and to become involved in. Back in about April time, Andrew came and spent an evening with our elders, and we as an eldership and as a leadership here had just a really good opportunity to sit together and hear from Andrew what this program involves. And then we were able to talk about, was that something we felt fitted into the life of Ballyhenry? And we had a shared sense that this socially based Christian initiative that is seeking to work for the good of everyone here in Newton Abbey is something that we were enthusiastic about becoming involved in. So, Andrew, it is a real pleasure to invite you along. You've met our elders before. This is your chance to say hello to the whole congregation, as it were. And we look forward just to sharing with you this morning as you explain to us what Newton Abbey Street Pastors is and what it means to be part of that. Andrew's going to begin by reading to us from God's Word. And again, Andrew, you're very, very welcome. The only condition is when you come up here, you've got to spin round so that everybody sees your street pastor's outfit. And I don't know, can you get that in the back of my suit or anything? We can discuss that at a later point. Come on up, and it's lovely to have you with us.
Well, good morning, everybody, and it is a pleasure to be here. So did I do the catwalk thing first? I'll give it the... Great. Well, if we may read the Bible together first. I'm reading from 1 John, and it's in your pew Bibles on page 1225. 1225. And it's a letter from John. Now, at this stage, John is quite an elderly man, and he's actually living in exile. And he writes this letter to the church because things are not maybe just going quite the way John would want, and he's exhorting the church to get back to the way it was in the beginning. So 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And we pray that God blesses this reading of his word. Well, I have another book here, and it's a book about my long-suffering wife, Margaret. It's called The Amazing Margaret. And along the print at the bottom it says, read about Margaret, the amazing wife, the brilliant cook, and the wonderful friend. Now, if I was simply to read this book, I would know about this Margaret, that she's a wonderful wife. I would read the chapter about what an amazing friend she is. And I would know in here about this woman, Margaret. But folks, I've lived with Margaret now for 18 years. So it's not just up here. I know from in here that Margaret is a wonderful wife. I know from here she is a wonderful cook. And I know what a wonderful friend she is. So it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. And Street Pastors is an opportunity for people to experience Jesus Christ. So that it's not just about up here. It's not just about something they've read at some time or something that somebody has told them at some time. We give them an experience. We let them touch and see and experience the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's in here. And that is the heart of what Street Pastors is all about. So if we could bring up the PowerPoint. We do encourage people to be one of the 12. We go out in teams of four. We try to get three teams out, which makes 12 people. We normally spend around 6 hours in an evening, and we ask people to go out for two evenings a month. That makes 12. And of course, there were 12 disciples, so it all just works. So at the end of this, I'm going to encourage you to be one of the 12. If we can click on to the next slide, please. So these are the first verses that we read in the Bible, the first verses that we looked at from that scripture reading. And John's talking here about what the disciples heard, what they saw with their own eyes, what they had an opportunity to actually handle and personally experience. And he's saying to the church, do you remember what that was like for those of you who were there? Street Pastors gives people an opportunity to actually handle the gospel, to actually experience that gospel of grace, which is free. Because the world's economy and the world that happens out there, the economy is, if I give you something, then I probably have my own motive. I probably want something back. There's probably a deal here or some expectation. But that's not God's economy. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's completely free. And we confront people with that. If we can move to the next slide, please. There are three bullet points in this, so maybe if you just give me three clicks and we'll bring them up. This was all started by a minister from the Caribbean, the Reverend Les Isaac. He found himself in London ministering to a Church of England parish there in the inner city. And there was really no connection between the community in which the church was placed and the church itself. But he had a real heart for understanding what was the church's role in all of this. What is our church actually supposed to do for the people who live in this parish? How are we going to serve them? How can we make a difference in their lives? How can this church actually be relevant to the people who live around it, as opposed to something they just walk past? So, seven ladies and two men. Ladies always go first, don't they? Seven ladies and two men started to walk around the community. They went out at night, and they committed to keep doing this, that they would go out every week, and they would walk around the community, and they would meet people, and they would simply get to know them. And as they got to know them, they would find out what their needs were and what their issues were, and they would try and help. And the seven women all come back alive. So the men decided maybe they would get involved. And the thing started to grow. If we could move on to the next slide, please. So I'm going to nip you quite quickly through here in a number of slides which show you street pastor schemes now across the UK. So here's the east of England. And on another one. It's actually hard to keep this up to date because there are literally new street pastor schemes opening all the time. That's all the ones in the Midlands, and we'll go on again. You're starting to get the idea that there's quite a few street pastors about. Go, and we'll go on again. The Isle of Wight would be quite nice, wouldn't it? You think that'd be a very peaceful ministry or something? I can't see any mad parties in the Isle of Wight, can you? We'll go on again. We're still going with the southeast, eh? Southwest, Cornish Riviera. Just keep coming. Okay, we'll keep going, Leslie. Bonnie, Scotland. Now, this is out of date. There are now 17 street pastor schemes in Scotland, including one in Stornoway. They must just sit outside the one pub or something. And Wales. And there's nothing in the middle of Wales, so that's why there's nothing in the middle. I'm going to keep it going. Jersey. I'm going to keep going. And we're now starting, there's London, where it all started. And I think there are only three boroughs of London now that don't have a street pastor initiative. And we'll keep her going. And we're going to get international now. My next posting. And we'll keep it going. Australia. And on again. So, and if you just click up, I'll tell you how many. There are again three clicks, three bullet points for me. So where we are, from back in 2003 when Les Isaacs started this with seven ladies and two men, there are now 250 approximately street pastor schemes and 12,000 street pastors. So that's a lot of Christians going into their local community and taking care of people and listening and seeking to help. And on the island of Ireland, there are three. There are two in Northern Ireland, Belfast and Newton Abbey. And there's one in the Republic of Ireland in Cork, where they have Cork Street pastors. There are two schemes in Northern Ireland that are currently in the process of getting up and running. One in Newry. The Salvation Army are taking the initiative to get it started there. One which the Roman Catholic Church is seeking to start in Coleraine. and they're going to look after the North Coast, Port Rush and Port Stewart and all around there. So if you want to move it on again for me, Leslie. So I'm just going to quickly go through this. It's not the exciting bit when you start to look at the governance and the structure of something. That's not really the exciting bit, but it's important that you actually know how this is set up and what governance there is behind the thing. So if you give me one click, first of all, there's Street Pastors UK. So Les Isaac has set up an organisation now. The charity is actually registered as Ascension Trust. It's a private limited company, not for profit, set up as a charitable trust to look after street pastors. And they make sure that the governance is in place. They audit the schemes that are running and make sure that they're being run properly. They provide governance documents to the local scheme, which it actually enables them to operate and shows them how to operate. And they also make sure that all the insurances and so on are in place. If I'm going to ask you to go out in the street at night, come for a walk with me around the local community, you want to know you're insured. So they take care of all of those sort of issues. Give us another click there. Now, locally then what happens is when we sign a license agreement with Ascension Trust in London, we are then required to set up a management committee. And there is one person, at least, from each church that's involved who sits on that management committee. And it's not just the church. Stephen Reid, who we prayed for this morning, the chief inspector for Newton Abbey, sits on that management committee. Elaine Manson, who is a council officer responsible for community safety within Newton Abbey Borough Council, sits on that committee. And that committee meets on a quarterly basis to actually govern the scheme. Now, it is a Christian ministry, so while the police and the council are there, it is a Christian ministry. The majority of the members are church leaders, and the chairperson is always one of the church leaders. Give us another click. Now, we now have around 50 trained pastors in Newton Abbey alone, so you can't just meet once every 12 weeks. We have to have some people who meet more regularly than that. So we have around 5 people from that larger committee who actually agree to meet monthly, and they run the scheme, and they make sure that everybody's done their training, and they've got their XSNI clearance, and all of those good things have been done to make sure that their rotas are produced and everybody knows what night they're on and where they're supposed to be at what time and all that organisational stuff. You click us on another one, Leslie. Now, we have a wonderful coordinator. She is sort of our Sergeant Major, Nicola Clyde. Nicola's from New Mosley Presbyterian. She puts the rotas together, and if any the street pastors have any difficulty, Nicola's the first stop to go and get your issues resolved. So then we have a number of pastors. Initially, when we started Newton Abbey, we brought some of the street pastors who had been operating in Belfast for about 3 years up to lead the teams. But we've now got to a stage where we're confident, and we have chosen a small group of 12 from Newton Abbey who we are confident have the ability and have the experience now to lead teams. And they have been receiving some extra training around supervising and managing people and so on. And those team leaders then are responsible for each team as they go out. Give us another click. And then we have the street pastors themselves. And another click. And very importantly, prayer pastors. And alongside the street pastors, we have prayer pastors. And the prayer pastors are on a rota. So for every night there's a street pastor patrol, there is a rota of prayer pastors. Now, they pray for the street pastors themselves by name that are on the road, so they're praying for the people who are out on the street. But also we're in mobile phone contact with them. So as we meet people and we meet situations in the street, we can ring the prayer pastors and we can tell them, I've just had a chat with Wee Billy. Wee Billy tells us that the YCF are giving them, or YCV are giving him a hard time. He's, you know, been threatened. He's really worried. He's sitting here crying with us. Now, we'll do our best with Wee Billy, and then we'll move on. But as we move on, the prayer pastors will continue to pray for him. And we're seeing real results from that prayer. And when you go back out the next night you're out, you get to see the results of the prayer that has gone in. It's amazing, actually. And click her on again. So just some images here. This is Glen Gormley. It was during the summer, so I know it's light, but it was at night. We have two different times it will go out. We have an early team and a late one in Newton Abbey. So the early team goes out about 7:30. And they're mostly in Rathcoole, in Mayfield, and residential areas, dealing with young people predominantly between the ages of sort of 10 to 12 through to maybe 16. That team finishes about 10:30, 11 o'clock, because mostly the young ones are off the street by then. We have a second team that come out, though, at 10:30, and their role is to do the sort of town centre of Glengormley and the whole pubs getting out thing. And they will stay out there about 1 a.m. until the pubs are empty and the streets are quiet. McDonald's has become a real favourite haunt. There's an awful lot of young people like to hang out in McDonald's. And at the start they were a wee bit sort of, who are you guys? But now they actually love their street pastors. They look forward to us coming in. They enjoy a little chat with us. We enjoy a cheeseburger. It's all good. And we've just had an opportunity to build up relationships with them. And we know them and they know us. And we're getting to a point now, and we had to earn this, but we're getting to a point now where they confide in us and they talk to us and they tell us what their problems are and they ask for our advice. So it really is lovely. And down in the bottom right there is the Lillian Bland Park. We'll go into the parks where the young ones do tend to go try and find a corner for their little drink or whatever else they're taking. Or, you know, the boy and the girl in the corner behind the bush. You're sort of, come out of there, you know. And again, as we get to know them, we've earned the right to maybe speak into some of that. We don't march in and take the drink off them. We're not the police. We don't march in and start removing stuff. But as we've built up relationships, we've been able to convince them that actually some of the decisions they're taking aren't smart. And we do call in to, that's the Youth and Community Centre in Rathcoole in the bottom right. Do you want to click on another one there, Leslie? And we'll meet the adult staff. And some of the adult staff around these youth clubs and youth provisions were a wee bit suspicious at the start. But equally, we now have a really great ministry with them. And we know about their issues and lives, and they're talking to us. And it's a difficult job. Some of that, they get a lot of grief at times from the young ones. And they're working anti-social hours, and you know, so it's nice to actually pastor to them too. Click her on again. This is Ronnie Pedlow in the middle. Ronnie was the last secretary of the Parades Commission. And 2 seconds after that was taken, he fell over the ball and broke his arm. Dear love him. And he was out of action for 3 months, but he's now back. Okay, we'll click her on again. Yours truly in Rathcoole, having a bit of fun. Clicking on another one quickly. Okay, so if you give us a few clicks here, we should get a few pictures up. 3, I think.
Yeah.
So what's it like out there at 1 a.m.? I don't know when the last time you maybe walked around at 1 o'clock in the morning and had a look at the local park, or when you last walked around Glengormley Town Centre at 1 a.m. It's actually fine. At the start, I was a wee bit, what's this going to be like? It's actually fine. There are some people about. By and large, they like a little chat. But you can see from some of these photographs that some of them push it a wee bit far. They make some poor decisions about the amount of drink they're going to take or substance they've taken, and they find themselves a little bit vulnerable. And that's the thing, they are vulnerable. We can think of them as a threat. But they're not actually a threat. They're God's children, and He loves them, and they've let themselves get into a very vulnerable place. Click it on another one. I have some images here. Some of them are taken locally. That's the theatre at Mosley Mill. There's the Harmony Chinese in the middle of Glengormley, and so on. I just wanted to make the point that if you do go out at night, you'll find lots of people who are just out. They've been to a show, they go to get something to eat, and so on. They're not drunk. They haven't taken anything. They're not mad. They're perfectly fine. They're just people who have been out for a night out. And we get conversations with those people too. And they're amazed actually to find that the church is there at 1 o'clock in the morning to have a conversation with, and really, really pleased. Can we move on another one? But some of them do really push it too far. And at times the street pastors are the last line of defence. because the police are really stretched. The police are really stretched. And if you call the police in terms of a response team, unless it is literally a life-at-risk situation, and I don't want to worry, if it's a life-at-risk situation, they will come. But situations like this are not a priority. That young lady, if somebody rang the police, could wait for an hour or more before the police might get around to her. And God knows what could happen in that time. So the street pastors are there, and we are not in a rush. We haven't got 20 calls on our list. We can spend all night if we have to. And we know at the end of the night to look out for the people who have been left behind, so to speak. Now, in my day, and I didn't go to church, by the way, until I was 28. So, in my day, I'd have been down the park and having a great time. Bangor was my haunt. I tortured Bangor. You know, you don't realize how vulnerable you're leaving yourself and the trouble you could get into. You don't realize what advantage could actually be taken of you when you're in that condition. So we're there, and we know at the end of the night to be careful. And in my day, everybody went home together. Whoever went out together went home together. It was like the US Marines. Nobody left behind. Right? It doesn't work like that now. The young ones don't do that now. They will quite happily go and leave their mate lying there. So we go around and make sure nobody's left behind. Okay, do you want to move it on another one? That's just another example, just to show it's not only the girls. This was a foreign visitor, and this shot's actually taken from Belfast. But this was a visitor to the city. His English wasn't particularly good. He had been drinking snaps, and he was lying on his back, asleep. Well, we actually thought he was unconscious when we met him. And the trouble would have been, of course, if he'd been sick, he could have choked. So we rolled him into the recovery position, and round he came. And we got some hot coffee from the Wellington Park Hotel and sort of poured it into him. And in a half an hour, he was a different man. And he was up and he was on his way. Click it on again. We removed glass bottles. And you can see from that slide that in 1 month there, we removed 426. The reason we remove glass bottles is that basically if a fight starts, the last thing you want is somebody being able to pick a bottle up. So we just remove those and take them away. And anything else that we see laying about that could be used in a fight. If you want to move it on another one. Now, we're pretty famous for the flip-flops. The girls come out in these shoes. Now, they can't walk on them at the start of the night. So what hope they think they're going to have by the end of the night defeats me. If they've got a boyfriend, he's normally carrying the shoes. So you've got some cool young man with a pair of 10-inch silver high heels in his hand. And her ladyship is plodding along in her bare feet, which is just, you know, cut feet, end up in A&E, all of that stuff. So we carry flip-flops. They're branded street pastor. So in the morning when they wake up, they can remember that they were helped by the street pastors. Their mum can say, where do you get those? And mum knows about the street pastors. And they flip-flop their way home in them. And actually, that thing I was talking about earlier, where it's a, you know, like a free economy, God's economy is free. It's amazing the number of girls who want to buy the flip-flops. They want to give you money for them. And we won't take it. We won't even take a donation on the street. Because we need them to understand that God loves them. He has put his people on the street for them. And he doesn't want anything in return that night. He just wants them to know he loves them. Do you want to click it on another one? We're nearly there. So ultimately, this is what it's about. It is about caring for people. It is about listening to people. And it's amazing the number of people we meet, young and old, who have nobody to talk to. That doesn't mean to say there's nobody else in the house. But there's nobody else they feel they can talk to. But they'll talk to the street pastors once the relationship's there. And they'll pour their heart out about all sorts of things and all sorts of problems. And just to be able to listen. Okay, you want to move it on another one? So if you give me a couple of clicks here. Yeah. This is a partnership. And Niall made the point before we come in the church that, you know, it's an opportunity for partnership of churches, and that's right. Firstly, it's a partnership of churches. And I get very excited about that, you know, because we only have one God, we know that. And he has one church of which he is the head. And it doesn't really matter whether I'm a Methodist or a Presbyterian or an Anglican or anything else. And when you see the church working together, God blesses that. And I've seen that time and time again. So here is an opportunity for churches to come together and work together. But there's also then that partnership with the police and with the council. And the Ascension Trust call that an urban trinity. Move it on, Lama. Give us another one, Leslie. So the requirements to be a street pastor. If you give us, I think, four clicks on this one, Leslie, I think. You need to be 18. There is no maximum age. Britain's oldest street pastor, Granny Pastor, has just retired at 93. Granny Pastor was in Plymouth. She sits on the edge of the curb because she can't walk too far, bless her. And all the young ladies gather around her and they call her Granny Pastor. And they ask, I got a choke thinking about her. They ask Granny Pastor for advice. You know, should I go out with him? And she's going, no. So Granny Pastor's just hung her cap up at 93. We have a street pastor in England in training at the moment at 82. So there is definitely no maximum age in this, but you do have to be 18. You have to be committed to your local church. It is a Christian ministry, and you have to be able to give us one evening a month, generally, one evening a month, and undertake the training. Click it on. And here's the training. Don't worry, I'm not going to go these one by one, but you need to understand what the role of a street pastor is, and really, more importantly, you need to understand what the role of a street pastor isn't. We're not in to break up fights. We're in the middle of Glengormley one night, and a massive row broke out outside the Thunderdome. It was an engagement party, and the two mums started it. And boy, was it a cracker, right in the middle of the road. Our job is not to go in and break that up. We'll try and talk it down, and we'll teach you various distraction techniques. With guys, lollipops. It's really hard to start a fight with a lollipop in your mouth. It works every time. But we try distraction, but if it actually gets to the fist swinging, we step back. That is not our job. Now, we are first aid trained. We'll go in afterwards and pick the pieces up. But, you know, we're not the police. So we'll talk about roles and responsibilities. We'll talk about alcohol and drugs, and we'll teach you about the basics of if you're seeing certain symptoms that somebody's displaying, that it's not alcohol, it's actually probably drugs. Whether it's something that's an upper and has made them all excited and full of buzz, or whether it's a downer and you can't actually get any response. And we'll talk about all of that and the effects of it and how long it might last and what you should possibly do about it. We'll talk about different types of police officers, because there are actually three different types of cops out there. Neighbourhood, who want to sit and have your bicky at the back there and your glass of juice and take all night and extract every last bit of information they can out of you. The response officer in the car who's got 20 calls and hasn't got 2 minutes. And then the TSG guys in the boiler suits, and they just basically want to fight. So you need to know, as a street pastor, what sort of copper you're dealing with. We have a module on the good news, because nearly everybody asks us. We don't go out to preach. But I can guarantee you nearly everybody we talk about wants to talk about God. Everybody we meet. They start to ask you, why do you do this? Why do you do this? What church are you from, mate? Why do you do this? I don't believe in all of that. But they actually want to start a conversation about it. So we have a module around sharing the good news on the street. We'll move on. So if you can give us 6 clicks. Did they all come up at once? So this is what happens in an evening. We meet, we pray together, we get our equipment ready, we sort ourselves into teams of 3 or 4, never less than 3, and we're on the streets between 7:30 and 1 a.m. Now, that's 2 teams. There's an early shift and a late. We have our prayer teams organized, and so the night goes through, basically, as I've described it, and at the end, we'll come back together, we debrief, we have a report that we fill in on the night, and we pray for the people who we met, and then we go home for a well-earned sleep. you want to click it on once more. So all of those statistics come together, and we can see what impact we're having and what we're achieving. But if you look sort of four lines from the bottom there, it says spiritual conversations. We actually monitor how many times we actually talk to somebody about the Christian faith. 202 on that report. Let me tell you, we did not start one single conversation. That was 202 conversations about what we believe as Christians, and we didn't start one of them. The community wanted to talk to us about the Christian faith. You want to click it on another one? Now, I've brought in the woman at the well here, and I'm just going to make a quick point around this. You remember the Samaritan woman? She had six. She was on her sixth man. Can I suggest to you that Jesus Christ was the first man that really looked at her? That really looked at her and saw more than two eyes and two ears and a nose and a mouth. Actually looked at her and saw her and her hopes and her dreams and her fears. And she could see in him that there was love and that there was care. That's what street pastors has the opportunity to do, to go out and meet people. And it might not be that they've had six partners. Maybe they have. They maybe have six other issues. But in the time that you're with them, to let them see the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let them see Jesus' church caring, genuinely caring, seeing beyond the issues and seeing them and letting them understand that you actually care about their hopes and their fears and their dreams. Okay, let's click it on another one. So how can you help? And we are there. Biscuits are waiting. You could become a street pastor. I would love you to become a street pastor. And the next training starts in February. And I would ask you to pray about that. Now, it may not be for you. But pray about it. Ask God, is this something, Lord, that I could do? And we'd love it if prayerfully you decided that it was. Maybe that's not for you, then you could pray for us, or you could become a prayer pastor and join the prayer rota. It is a Christian ministry, and you could give to us, of course. We would encourage you, if you know somebody who you think, she would be a great street pastor, he would be a marvelous street pastor, tell them that. Go and speak to them and say, we had this guy at the church there a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about street pastors, and you know what, I think he would be really, really suited to that. Why don't you go and find out about it? So maybe you can encourage someone else. You want to move it on again? So I'm going to finish with this. This is me done. What is that? It's a scarecrow. What do scarecrows do? They're scarecrows. They're an instrument of fear. They scare crows. What do smart crows know? Smart crows know at least two things.
It's not real.
It's not real. There's nothing to be scared of, is there? Smart crows know it's not real. Smart crows know there's nothing to be scared of. They know something else. That's where the food is. That's where the harvest is. Now, when you think about going onto the street and you wonder about being a street pastor, the enemy will wave a scarecrow at you. And this little bit of fear will come across thinking, oh. It's a scarecrow. There is nothing to be scared of. Honestly, I've been doing this for 3 years. We are really welcomed on the street. There is nothing to be scared of. And you know what, folks? That's where the harvest is. Honestly. In your community.